now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when the Senate begins debating a bill that will eliminate government oversight of the banking clan's activities in order to fund the war, Padme and Ahsoka travel in secret to the capital of the Confederacy of Independent Systems. Amidala attempts to forge a peace agreement with the Separatists, while Ahsoka sees for the first time the people of the Confederacy. There will be sweep, sweep, boom, boom droids, a rare look behind enemy lines, and is that Ahsoka checking out a boy? Girl? We're talking about heroes on both sides this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I got a cold.
I know.
Yeah, so if I cough, hear me cough, I promise you I'm fine.
Everybody around me is sick, too. Everybody that were at work, they had this thing. And it's funny, you can tell they're getting it because their voice goes, and then they're just like, I can't talk. And then the next day, they're like, I got the flu.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, mine's just a cold. I think it's a mix of a few things, like allergy season started like a month early because it's been so fucking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, listener, she's fine now, but like my kitty had knee surgery last week, and she's going to get her hair stitches out, but she's been trapped in this tiny room, and I've been spending like time letting her sit on my chest and like hold her and stuff, so I've inhaled more than my normal amount of cat hair. And then I had just a few days I didn't sleep very well, so just like a combination of a few things. And I woke up Monday morning and I was just like So yeah, but my baby's gonna be okay on Friday and she'll be free and I can love her and just inhale the normal amount of cat hair. So not like triple the amount. I think that was like, yeah, like Sunday I took a nap with her down there and I was laying out on the floor and I needed pillows and she was laying on my chest, so I took her cat bed and I rolled it up and put it under my head. That was a stupid
That's
idea.
That's not a good idea.
That's where all the dander came from. And
yep.
Then Monday morning, that's when I woke up and I was just like, I can't breathe.
Your lungs became a dander filter at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the dumb part of what I did. But I got to love my baby, and that's the important thing, is I loved on my baby, and she's my everything. She's my everything. Yay. So, yeah, but I'm doing good. You know, actually, something, because it was one of our news points, I didn't put this in the notes, but it is March 8th that we are recording this, and on March 7th, Clone Wars was supposed to be off of Netflix. I went on Netflix today because I couldn't find the episode, and there it was. It was still on Netflix, so I don't know if they renewed their license. I haven't seen any news stories about it or what, but it looks like as of right now, the TV gods have smiled on Clone Wars, and as of right now, it's still on Netflix.
Now that makes things more convenient. We'd still get you your Clone Wars. Don't worry.
I almost had to message you today because my backup didn't work, so I had to. I was just like, please be on Netflix. Oh my god, it's on Netflix!
Yeah, so we'll talk off air. I got some resources.
Yeah, so so as of right now, we're still on Clone Wars Watch 2017 Netflix edition, because I don't know what's happening with it, and I haven't had a chance to actually look into see what's going on with that. So, yeah. Yeah. So I had a call. All right, well, I am ready to get into this episode. I like this episode.
Me too. I really like this episode.
It's different. That's what I like about it. Now, let's see. I wrote these background information notes last week, so let's remember what I wrote. So, let's go. All right. So here we go. Heroes on Both Sides is the 54th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on November 19, 2010. It was written by Daniel Arkin, who was the writer and producer of the hit show Alias. and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Some extra information for you. Lex Bonteri is voiced by Jason Spisak. Jason Spisak, who also voiced Wally West, a.k.a. Kid Flash, in one of the greatest cartoon shows of all time, Young Justice, and is coming back for season 3 on Netflix. Woo! Mina Bonteri's voice actress is Kath Susie, who is also voices Mon Mothma. And this episode marks the debut of revamped appearances for several characters. Anakin and Obi-Wan wear less clone armor, and Obi-Wan's hair color has been altered to a color more consistent with the live-action appearances, but Obi-Wan wasn't in this episode, so I don't understand. Ahsoka and Senator Chuchi debut new outfits and have aged-up character models, giving them more of a teenage appearance. In Ahsoka's case, this includes longer headtails and even more developed mantles, which I definitely noticed. I have a note about that. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, "The title of this episode is Heroes on Both Sides. That idea comes from the opening crawl of Revenge of the Sith, where it states that during the Clone Wars, there were heroes on both sides. I think it was followed up by evil is everywhere. This is an interesting concept. I don't think we've presented it anywhere else. What do you mean there are heroes on both sides? I thought the heroes were the Republic. Think about it. If Count Dooku has claimed to have left the Republic because of an evil Sith Lord is in control of the Senate, and he sways a bunch of good senators from the Republic to leave on the grounds that the Republic is corrupt, well, that's exactly true. That's exactly true. The Separatists have left the Republic for the right reasons. They believe that the Republic is corrupt. That is a concept that never occurred to Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka sees the Separatists as bad. I mean, why wouldn't she? All she's ever met is Grievous or Ventress, and fought them, and they're terrible. This was an opportunity to have another episode with Padme and Ahsoka getting together so we can see that there's almost a sister-like kind of relationship that extends to Padme, where she takes Ahsoka and teaches her about politics. She takes Ahsoka to Raxus, which is where the Separatists have set up their headquarters. On this adventure, we thought it would be fun to start to hint at a problem for Ahsoka, which is contact with a boy of her age that has nothing to do with the Jedi Knights, and a boy who is very different from Anakin Skywalker in every possible way. This boy is Lex Bonteri. He interests her because he gives her a different way of thinking, a different perspective on her world. What I really like about this episode is at the beginning of the episode, Ahsoka thinks one way, and by the end of it, she thinks another. That is what her character is all about. She stands in the middle of this galactic conflict, and she is witnessing it as a person with an open mind. Now she has a critical perspective on the other side of the world. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay, Dave.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. My gosh, I very much like this episode. It's for that very reason. As I was listening to Dave talk about this, it kind of reminded me of Ahsoka in the Ahsoka novels a little bit, as he was explaining Ahsoka in this. But, like, not quite, because at the beginning of the Ahsoka novel, she was, like, really scared to, like, to have her Jedi abilities, because she, you know, for a very good reason, she could die. But by the end of the novel, she was just like, nope, I'm a fucking, I have powers, I'm not a Jedi anymore, but Lord, I have powers, and I'm going to use them to help people. And that's kind of like what, like, when Dave was talking, it reminded me of, because she had to, like, find herself in a place between this world where she was okay to use her powers and be herself. And that's kind of, like, what I like, this episode is sort of kind of like the beginnings of that. Like, she's just starting to figure out, like, things for herself, opposed to herself in with the Jedi Order. She was, like, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Okay, Yoda.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yoda is a hero on both sides. If you know what Yoda means.
This platitude this week is another one that, like, doesn't, like, it works for part of the episode, but not for the actual point of the episode. The point of this episode is Ahsoka learns about Separatists, and this is all about, like, oh no, the Separatists attacked. That's not the point of the episode. The Star Wars platitude.
Oh.
I want the cookie.
Yoda will fix.
Okay.
Fear is a great motivator. In bed.
Easy there, 50 Shades of Green.
Yoda always afraid he's never going to get sex again. Definitely motivator. This Yoda's motivator's busted.
Sorry.
I'm just sitting back waiting to see how far this goes.
I'm blowing. This R2 unit's got a bad motivator.
What? What?
It's a Star Wars quote with young. Would you like some fries with that Luke Skywalker? I'm blowing. This droid's busted. I want to go to Tashi Station. Get some fries with that.
That's my favorite voice. Like when you do like teenage Anakin and like Luke's voice. That's my favorite.
That's the one that hurts my throat the most.
I know. Actually,
you want to just cough.
That's your more like your Ezra Luke voice. Your Anakin voice is just that. God, Obi-Wan.
Oh, God. Stupid. Die, so stupid.
I should totally just like write all my Anakin lines for you and just have you read it in that voice, and that'll make me a very happy camper.
Oh, shut up. God, he's always talking.
God, I hate sand.
Hate his stupid voice.
Sand gets like everywhere and it gets in your butt crack.
Breathing my air and like talking and like being so stupid.
Ugh. Dooku cut off my arm again.
It's not fair. He's got two arms.
He's always
holding it over me.
Just imagine like Death Count Dooku standing over him, holding Anakin's arm above his head. And Anakin like is trying to reach up with his nubbin, trying to grab it. Just like, eh. Yeah.
See what happens when you mess around, doofus.
I did see a thing of Anakin, and it was on Tumblr, and he was just like, I'm an idiot. And then it was like five pictures of Obi-Wan just staring at him. And at the very bottom, it said, if you're waiting for me to disagree, we're going to be here a while.
It's about right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee, and then I'm ready for Act 1, are you?
Ooh, you're coffeeing it up. Okay.
Yeah, because after this, I have to write on deadlines. Yay! All right, Act 1?
Act 1.
Why did I put so many caps locks this shit? Okay.
One beautiful act.
One act. Act 1. Shit is going down as the war continues. With clones dying faster in battle as the war rages on, the Senate is like, shit, this is costing us a fortune. Everyone is going back and forth. Some senators want to make more troops. Others argue that it's going to bankrupt the Republic. And Lot Zod is over in the corner like, hey guys, I got some money here. You just need to open up more credit cards. That's always a great idea. You get a credit card, and you get a credit card, and Oprah gets a credit card, and we all get credit cards. It's going to be great. Padme finally kicks in the door saying, guys, chill. Why don't we try and negotiate with the Separatists and see if we can come to peace? And nobody likes that plan, and chaos erupts in the Senate again. In the corner, Ahsoka and Anakin watch the senators fight. Afterwards, three baddies, Lot Dodd, Gumi Sam, and Nix Card, mourn the loss of their money that they would have made on that bill. One suggests killing Padme, and Lot Dodd is like, dude, I have literally tried to kill Padme like five times in this series. I swear to God, she has the secret to immortality or something. Instead, the baddies decide to set up an attack on Coruscant to shake the Senate's false sense of security. Over in the hallways, Padme wants Anakin to have the Jedi Council speak with Palpatine about peaceful solutions. Anakin is like, yeah, I really like kind of crazy fighting and all this war, and also that's not my job. Ahsoka is confused because she thought that's what Jedi Knights were supposed to do. And Anakin breaks it down like, the Separatists are bad, and we need to stop them. And Padme rolls her eyes like, no, it's not even close. Let Mom handle this one. Come along, space daughter. I'm going to teach you about politics. In Padme's office, Padme is like, I really want to talk to some of my Separatist friends, like Senator Bonteri. And Ahsoka is just like, what? You have Separatist friends? What? And Padme is like, yeah, the Separatists were part of the Senate like a year or two ago. I was friends with a lot of them, but now it's illegal for me to talk to them, and oh my god, you're a Jedi! And Ahsoka is confused, and Padme explains that Ahsoka, being a Jedi, gives her special clearance to go to neutral worlds, and then they can just hop on a cargo ship and go to a Separatist planet. And Ahsoka is like, gasp, you want me to use my Jedi status to smuggle you behind enemy lines? I'm totally in, bro! And Padme is like, bro, let's go talk to some Separatists! Meanwhile, in space, Count Dooku calls up his droid, Boo Grievous, and is like, hey, I need you to make some evil shit happen on Coruscant. And Grievous is like, I'll take the job. Actually, I really do need a cough. There we go. That's the end of that one.
How convenient.
I know, right? Though, I didn't put it in my notes, but like as I was reading that, I was like, Anakin, why won't you go talk to the, like, you know, Jedi Knights are peacekeepers. If Padme wants you to go talk to Palpatine about a peacekeeping thing, why won't you go do that? Like, it's that whole thing about how, like one day the Jedi are just like, yeah, we could totally do this. And the next day they're just like, that's not our forte.
Yeah, not into it today. Yeah.
I don't feel like being a Jedi today, so you're on your own, kids. It's so weird, like, how, like, sometimes they can get involved and sometimes they can't. Like, I don't get it. That their rules change faster than you can, like, do stuff that are fast.
It seems to to change from Jedi to Jedi. Basically, it depends on which Jedi you're operating with at any given time.
You know, I bet if she asked Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan would be like, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, great, we're back in the Senate again. Season 3, we're 10 episodes in, we're still sort of hanging out in the Senate. But then we get into some juicy bank deregulation and false flags, and it starts sounding like an episode of Alex Jones or Conspiracy Theory Land. So now all of a sudden I'm like, yeah.
We have an episode where the kid's like the kid main character Ahsoka actually says the words interest rates.
Right.
I was like, that's a big word for a kid show.
But so I'm like, okay, we're all politics. But then again, I like in the politics area, I like Mr. Chessface guy. He's I always like seeing him. But then, boom, Greavy. We got conspiracy theories, Greavy's popping in. He's, you know, basically reviewing his troops and just like, all of you are going to die. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I'm into this episode.
Yeah.
And once again, I don't know if we've talked since I've gotten my Greavy in the mail.
Oh, I don't think we have.
No.
We didn't record last week.
I got a Greavy from Hope sent me a bobblehead Greavy. He's awesome. He's holding two lightsabers. And like, you know how mostly those Funko Pops just sort of bobble up and down? His just sort of shakes like he's incredibly angry. It's awesome. It looks like just pure frustration when you make his head go. And I got two like head moving action toys from you because the other one was a Pez, Stormtrooper Pez dispenser.
Yeah, that was just something little I saw. I was like, I'll give that to Chris too.
I don't know if I have a Stormtrooper Pez dispenser. I've got a couple C-3POs and I think I got a Chewbacca and a Yoda. And I think the Yoda's short too. I think it's like a half size Pez dispenser.
That's awesome! I have an Ahsoka one okay, I just want to make sure I didn't give it away. I also have a Clone Wars Obi-Wan.
Oh, neat. They have Clone Wars ones?
Yeah, I have an Ahsoka and a Clone Wars Obi-Wan that I've had since college. I got them in college because I saw them in a grocery store, and I've had them since.
I was on eBay and seeing, like, all sorts of weird I was like, let's see what they got for Clone Wars, and then I sorted it by whatever the cheapest was. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I find, like, Yoda head, like, action figure heads. Like, you could buy Rex's head. Just Rex's helmet for his head. Just everybody's heads for, like, $2. I was like, oh, maybe I'll make a little charm bracelet of Clone Wars heads.
And just send it to me, like a bunch of Rex heads.
Yeah, yeah, just a whole necklace of Rex heads that you can wear. They'll stare at everybody as you walk around.
That's actually a little morbid, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. I do have Rex helmet earrings, so maybe I could wear those together.
Ooh.
Yeah. My friend Angel gave it to me, not this Christmas, but the previous Christmas. This Christmas, she gave me a Kanan and a Hera Funko Pops, and I make them kiss.
Aww.
The Hera Funko Pop is really cool, because, like, how they did her Leku is, like, really nice, actually. So, she's really cute.
Except when they kiss, their little plastic heads go click, 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 click together. It must be pretty awkward.
Yeah. No, it's the season one Kanan. I kind of want the, like, a season two Kanan now with, like, the visor and, the, like, his hair longer and stuff like that. So, but did you have anything else for Act 1?
No, that's all my notes. It was dread things. And then, like, ooh, maybe this will be good.
Yeah, I only had a couple notes. I also had one that said, hey, Grievous, it's been a while since we've seen you. I also like Ahsoka's new design. Like, I could actually tell that she was taller. She's almost as tall as Padme. She wasn't that tall back, like, two, three episodes ago. Because I remember, like, Padme, like, hugged her, and, like, she was, like, under, like, her chin. It was the episode Assassin, that's what it was. And, like, she was under Padme's chin, and, like, this time, like, she's, like, her eyes are almost eye level with Padme. She's a little taller. So I definitely noticed it. So I do like Ahsoka's new design. I like seeing how Palpatine is setting up the Clone Wars with something as simple as making it illegal to talk to Separatists. Because Padme was like, it's illegal to talk to my friends. And, like, that's such a, like, a minor throwaway line. But that's Palpatine's power play. Because he says, like, the reason is so they don't legitimize the Separatists. The real reason is so people like Padme can't negotiate peace and end the Clone Wars.
Right,
and that's
right.
A very, very smart move on him. Like, it's such a little throwaway line, but, like, that's the reason they can't end the Clone Wars now is because they literally are not allowed to talk to them.
Yeah, these people are, it's harder to demonize someone, especially somebody who wasn't demonized before, was your friend before, unless you keep them away from the other people. And that's, like, the whole lesson I think Ahsoka learns by going over there. Again, getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but...
Yeah. But that's just... That was a very smart kind of little move on Palpatine's part to keep them from ending the Clone Wars in, like, a week.
Right, right.
And then my last note was, oh, Ahsoka, bless your heart. It's so clear she doesn't know that Anakin and Padme are married, because she mentions that Anakin and Padme get along so well, and no wonder they're good friends, and Padme's just like, yeah, we're good friends. Such
Imagine
good friends.
That.
They're so good friends. Like, and that's when I was just like, okay, so Rex knows they're married, but Ahsoka does not know they're married. But I have to wonder, like, they clearly probably don't teach sex ed in Jedi school. So, like, I wonder if, like, she, you know, being a teenager, she definitely has hormones. But, like, I wonder what it'd be like to, like, have, like, no education and just be like, oh, my God, men. Like, does she think about sex? Or, like, what are her thoughts on sex? Like, does she even really understand how sex works? Or is it one of those, like, kind of natural things, like, she understands, like...
Sounds like a description of a teenager.
I know, but, like, it's different. Because, like, I mean, I went through school and I had sex ed. Like, they kind of did the very basics of, like, you know, like, boys have wet dreams and girls have, like, periods in elementary school. And then when we got to middle school, they did a little bit more. And then high school was like, here's sex education.
I'm sure they get something like that in just, in just general education. Who knows? Maybe she picks up some stuff off TV, too. I don't, you know. I mean, they obviously have TV there and entertainments and stuff like that that she could go into her room and watch, I'm sure. So... Yeah,
they have the holonet.
I mean, I would imagine just in a civilization like that, there's some basic education or at least access for the curious to figure out stuff, you know?
I just had the best thought ever, though. I just imagine, like, Ahsoka flying along with Anakin, And she's just like, hey, Master, where do babies come from? And, like, he purposely crashes his jet into,
yeah,
like,
he would not be into that question.
He'd be like, oh, God, Snips, we're going down. She's like, no, everything's functioning fine. He's like, nope, we're going down.
Nope, we're crashing.
And, like, crashes his plane. Just so he doesn't answer that question.
Yeah, I don't think Anakin or Obi-Wan would be very comfortable with that. Obi-Wan would do it, but he would be, like, blushing and, like, okay.
I don't know. I think there could be two possible Obi-Wan scenarios in that case. Either he would be, like you said, like, kind of blushy, not knowing it, or he'd be just, like, very logical about it and, like, over-explaining and, like, pulling out diagrams and charts.
Yeah.
Just, like teacher mode Obi-Wan. Let me teach you about it. And either that or it'd be awkward or teacher mode and there'd be no in between.
Who knows? Maybe she picks up stuff from Padme, too. Padme's had boyfriends in the past and obviously and had a little bit of experience, so.
That was the other scene in Assassin they had in the sex talk.
The sexy talk. The PG-13 sexy talk.
The birds and the bees. This is what you do when a boy wants your flower. Or a girl. When a girl wants your flower. Because that bear is so free, Ahsoka. She was checking you out back on Geonosis when you were about to die. This is Star Wars, everyone.
You ever heard that song that, let me tell you about the birds and the bees? I don't know why I'm making it a country song. And the flowers and the trees. That song.
Yeah.
I when I was a kid, I never heard oldies songs. We didn't have radios and stuff, and I always thought it was because there was a kid who was saying, let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the thing between your knees. And that's what I always thought the song was, and it was such a shocker when I first heard it. I'm like, is this the edited version of this song? Did they have edited versions of songs in the 50s?
Mine kind of also reminded me of... there's this great, great movement. It's not really a big thing anymore, but every once in a while they have concerts and stuff. But back when the Harry Potter fandom was, like, super thriving, there used to be what was called Wizard Rock, and it was bands that played Harry Potter music.
Yeah.
And at the height of it, there was 800 bands worldwide that made music about Harry Potter. And I think it was the band The Mudbloods. They did a compilation album for charity with a bunch of other bands called Seriously Smiling. And the Mudbloods wrote a song about sex ed at Hogwarts. And it's just, it's like, Professor Sprout's got the green thumb and Flitwick teaches us all charms and, Professor Snape might be quite mean, but he knows his potions recipes. But what I wanna know, at Hogwarts School, who teaches sex ed? And, like, goes into this, like, big thing about, like, how they shouldn't have, like, Slughorn teach it because they would all vomit because he's so ugly. And how, like, if Fyren's the centaur taught them, they'd all be centaur styling. It's a funny little song. And so then,
well, I was just thinking, like, Jedi sex ed would be really complicated because there's lots of species. At least at Hogwarts, they're all people.
That's true. It'd be like underwater with Kit Fisto, underwater styling, and how
well,
to take off
Fisto
your freebie.
Might just, you know, Kit Fisto might just go over and fertilize a big sack of eggs that the females deposited the night before on festival night, you know?
Quinlan Voss would just be like, guys, here's how you do it. You don't use protection, and then you run away. Quinlan Voss, and like Obi-Wan would be like, no, you always use protection.
That's how we get more Jedi.
And Yoda would just be like, just sit under their skirts, yes. So Act 2?
Act 2.
Now that we've had a very long conversation about Jedi
before,
sex ed.
Before Dirty Yoda starts showing up and teaching sex ed, you don't want that getting out there.
One second, I need to blow my nose.
Yeah, I'm leaving that in.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Yeah, that was for you, Yoda. Yeah, is this hot for you? Is this hot, Yoda? Does that do it for you, Yoda?
I think it would do it more for Grievous, it seems like.
Hey, Grievous, this is my sexy voice.
Yeah. Sexy voice for Grievous is somebody hacking up phlegm.
He watches like a Coldies commercial and he's just like, yes.
It's but the like, sound I mean, of heavy machinery and phlegm being hacked up.
No, if he watches a Coldies commercial, that's like BDSM, because then you're trying to cure the cold. And he's just like, no, that's like not what you're supposed to do. You're bad. Man, this is turning into Eat It and Beat It real fast.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right, it's active. Padme and Ahsoka arrive on Raxus, which I spelled like 12 different ways in this notes because I was too lazy to look up how to spell Raxus. The capital city of the Separatists. They're met on the platform by Mina Bonteri, a.k.a. looks like she could be Mon Mothma's lost fraternal twin, but it's the same voice actress, so whatever. Padme says Mina was one of her mentors on Naboo. And Ahsoka is like, you're a Separatist? And Mina laughs like, what were you expecting me to be, like, ugly and breathing fire? Nope, I'm fabulous. And she takes Padme and Ahsoka to her home. Mina's son Lux is waiting and tries to help Ahsoka with her luggage, not trusting anyone who starts with the letter S and ends with an effortist. Ahsoka is like, no, I can carry my own shit, thank you. And the teenagers give each other the stank eye and heads inside. Ahsoka asks Mina, so you created this war, so that means you're bad, right? And Mina is really pleasant about the exchange and explains that they left the Republic because they thought it and the Jedi Council were both corrupt. Her husband was actually killed by clone troopers, which completely destroyed her family. And at that revelation, Ahsoka excuses herself to leave the ladies alone. Outside, Ahsoka finds Lux, who spots her lightsaber. And he says before the war, he thought the Jedi were good. But because of the war, he's not sure if they're really good anymore. And Ahsoka is like, well, I'm the first Jedi you've met. Look at me. Do I look bad? And Lux is like, girl, you look fine. Damn, girl. But in a more awkward teenage way. So it's just more like, oh, you look nice. Huh? Thanks. Wait. Chris, give me an awkward Lux voice.
Well, how many Separatists have you met?
Oh, that was perfect, thank you. He then turns the question on her and says, well, how many Separatists have you met? Oh, I just realized you read the next line, sorry. She admits that outside of military people like Ventress and Grievous, none. And he says, do I look bad? And she doesn't answer, but she does kind of give him a look up and down. So you get that, Ahsoka, you get it, girl. Back inside, Mina and Padme don't agree on liking Count Dooku, but they do agree that the war needs to end. Both the Republic and the Separatist parliaments are both torn how to stop the war. Padme says if Mina can get the Separatists to extend an olive branch of peace to the Republic, they might can negotiate an end to the war. Mina totally loves this plan, and we'll see what she can do. Meanwhile, Grievous has set up his evil plan. He gives a rousing speech to his new infiltrator droids, which looks like maintenance bots, and sends them on their way. And the infiltrator droids arrive on Coruscant and easily slip past clone troopers who thinks they're cleaning droids. Yes. I actually really love Grievous's little inspirational speech.
Yes.
Because they're droids. It's not like they need or care to have inspiration. He just needs to, like, program them and send them on their way. But, you know, he had to give a speech first.
He likes their little buddies. They really are. They're like pets to him because they're, like, a little bit like him. But he's still got a little bit of flesh and blood so he can beat up on them and feel superior to them and be their master.
What if he's like me with my Kanan and Hera pops and he makes the droids kiss and he like acts out little puppet shows?
He probably does. He probably tells them stories before shutting them down at night and stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it gets boring being like the only like living thing on board of a ship.
And he probably misses Gore, you know?
Oh yeah, Gore!
Yeah.
Oh, rest I miss in peace, Gore. Let's pour one out for Gore. I'm not going to pour my coffee on the floor.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. I got carpeting in here.
Yeah, so pour one out for Gore. Have a shot on us for Gore.
Oh my god, you got a shot out in this one during the there was a toast to hope.
I saw that, and like she looked at the babies, and I was just like, oh, look at the babies, and then she said my name, and I was like, oh, Ahsoka, it's me. Yay.
We have a giant, big old church here that has a big flyer on the side of it now that says, Hope is here. And I'm like, no, she's not.
You should totally take a picture and tag me in a post. Be like, I'm in Atlanta.
You don't fool me. Oh my god. Ahsoka's like met a cute separatist. It's
oh my
like
gosh.
Romeo and Juliet.
They're gonna be like such a boy. She's with a boy who's not a Jedi, and he was like, she was checking him out, and
it's
yeah.
Like everyone here was supposed to be a stinky pants, and like they're all like kind of cool. He's kind of cute, and like the queen has like some cool tattoos. Actually, those tattoos, I'm not a big tattoo fan, but the way that they rendered the tattoos was just looked really nice. They looked like they were sort of, you know, like inside the skin like tattoos are. It was
on who?
On isn't it on the
on Mina?
Yeah.
She has tattoos? How did I
on her
that?
Neck.
Oh, I thought that was part of her dress. Maybe they are tattoos, Montair.
I'm pretty sure they're like they almost look like tribal tattoos.
I thought it was part of her dress, but no. Wait, I think you're right, because she's wearing it with, like, different outfits. She has different... Yeah, I think you're right.
And the way that they're rendered, they look like tattoos. They don't look just like, you know, they just,
are
like...
tattoos. You're right. Now I'm looking actually, like, at a still picture of her. She has them on her arms, too.
And I like this. This is Ahsoka's chance to learn the shades of gray of war, and that,
Before we just get off on another topic, just because it's like a cool costuming note, Lux has the same design of Mina's tattoo on his clothing, on his jacket. And that's very common to do with costume design to show how people are related. They'll put like similar designs across, like say if like you're doing like Romeo and Juliet, that's a really good example. Like all the Capulets will have like the same design on theirs, and the Montagues will have a different design on theirs and all of their jackets. So that's cool, because now that I'm actually looking at pictures of the two of them, her tattoos are the same design on his jacket.
It might, yeah, like, and it that's might really say cool. They have some cultural significance to the tattoos or something.
Yeah, it
kind of
looks like Hina tattoos, actually, now that I'm really looking at it. But you were saying about Shades of Grey, sorry.
Yeah, finally we get to see that, like, There's when you have a war like this, there's different levels, and as you get lower down the pyramid, it starts looking the same on both sides. You know, like mm-hmm. the populace on one side of on either side of almost every war are usually like just sort of generally the same. You know, they just want to live their life and do their thing, and then they have a layer of politics above it. And yeah, like I said, Ahsoka was seeing people going like, hey, you know, if you go from the premise, which we know that the Senate is corrupt, but if they go from that, if they're operating from that premise, everything they're doing is very logical and is actually they're right. They're being manipulated too, but everybody's being manipulated at this point by Palpatine. So, you know, she gets to see that, like, oh, their Senate operates very much like ours, and look, there's Dooku being like just a normal politician and actually being kind of human too, going, huh, maybe we'll think about peace, just like Palpatine does, where he goes, oh, maybe it's a good idea, you know, or whatever, and playing the role. And so Dooku looks like a strong leader from that point of view. So she's getting to see that it's almost like these two parallel things, but she's just not getting the big picture that we get by knowing who's manipulating things and that they are for sure. You know, at that point, it's like, you know, even if you decide that someone's manipulating things, who is it, you know? And is it Dooku? Because Dooku's the one who could most likely be a Sith. But, you know, it's strange, you know. It's murky and never easy to figure it out unless you stay on one side, you know.
Yeah, that's why I think this is such a cool episode, because we get to see like the quote unquote villain side and hear their story. I mean, because like looking at the Clone Wars show like up to this point, along with the original trilogies and the prequel movies, because We had original trilogy, prequels, and then all Clone Wars up to this point. We've never seen the other side up to now. We don't know what the enemies think or feel or even why they're fighting. We just know that they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. So this is a really good episode that Dave Filoni and his crew have given us because it makes you kind of feel for the Separatists. Like, when Mina is talking about, like, you know, clone troopers killed my husband, you know Ahsoka's sitting there going, I'm friends with those guys. My friends, like, killed her husband. Wow, that's a little, puts it in, like, you know, Mina's clearly not Dooku or Grievous or Ventress. Like, right. she's more Padme than Ventress or Grievous. So it's cool because, like, not all the Separatists are bad guys, even though they're the antagonists. And I think it's also really smart, like, back in Act 1, Padme was, like, they were in the Senate, like, 2 years ago, like, working with us. Like, they were a part of the Republic. They're not bad. I mean, so... this is such a cool episode just for that very reason, is that we get to hear the other side of the stories. And a lot of shows don't do that, especially kid shows. They don't show us, like, let me rephrase this. A lot of shows do that now, like stuff like Steven Universe and Gravity Falls, like, they do that now. But back in, like, 2009, 2010, mid-2000s, that wasn't very common. It was just the bad guys and the good guys, and that was it. So, like, this was a very kind of, I don't want to say revolutionary, because other shows have done it too, but, I mean, you don't always, in kids' shows, get to hear the villain's story.
This is pretty complicated. This has, like, levels of the shades of gray, but it also has, like, I don't want to say, it has elements of conspiracy theory in it, and, you know, like, quote-unquote, like, Grievous is and Dooku are planning a false flag operation right now, you know, something you would hear Alex Jones say, but, you know, but it's you're seeing like the reality of it, and then you're seeing the people who are manipulating it, and that's why the fear is a motivator part. It works for this because, yeah, it's in that, we'll get into that more in the third part, but
I mean, to go on that, I mean, freaking Lat Dodd and his two little cronies are in the Republic Senate, and they're clearly worse than Mina.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing is, yeah, these guys seem, and you know, they're interested in peace, too. That she sees at the base all these people in this room, or most of the people in this room, just as opposed to less than most of the people in the room in the Senate are sort of like, the Senate's not as agreeable to peace as the Separatist Senate is, if you know, at first. Yeah, they both are made up of enough people that are just generally decent people that they're like, yes, we want the dying to stop, you know? Yeah. And the ones that really want it to start are being shown to have financial motivation behind it, you know?
And, like, what I'm gathering is, like, what the Separatists really just want is just, like, pretty much to make another state. Like it used to be one big country, like, I don't know, like,
Austria. Yeah, let's get away from these Jedi before things go bad, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
having
trying
a Sith, like, in charge is not a good thing. Let's sort of, but the funny thing is, you know, while Dooku isn't the Sith, but he's sort of the Sith, you know, he's like the second tier, puppet Sith, but he's still, you know, a failed and evil Jedi at the very least. So, you know, they both sides are corrupted and stained sort of in the same way, but they're also mostly motivated by, you know, good intentions, which, yeah, everybody knows where good intentions lead.
I had to Google it because, like, I'm usually so good with history, but my brain is so muddled right now. Like, the way I kind of, like, saw the starting was, like, they used to be, like, one country, like Czechoslovakia, and then they split into two. They're trying to split into two countries, so it's, like, they're trying to make, like, Slovakia and the Czech Republic, but, like, right now, like, they're still feuding and they haven't got there yet. Or, like, say, like, the American Civil War, where the Confederacy was just, like, we want to be our own country. We're clearly different from the North, and... the North was like, no, fight! Well, not that, you know, there's so many other terrible things going on, like slavery. But still, like, that's kind of how this is. It's like, the Separatists are pretty much just trying to make their own country. And yeah, they're like, we just want to do this. And, like, the Republic's like, no, you're bad! So, I mean, it's so complicated, but, like, it's really complicated for a 22-minute kid show. Like, this is so good. And it, but the thing is, it breaks it down so simply that a kid can understand it.
And at this point, also, it's doing a good job. It's built up to this. So if you're a kid watching this show, you would be even more prepared, because if you've watched up to here, you've seen some more. You've had a few little other little basic classes in politics. And,
you know,
and it's like very rare that that's what you see a children's show approaching politics. And it does it in a very sort of nonpartisan matter. It just sort of, because it's dealing with, you can't really compare either side with like a political party in our world. You know, you can't say like, oh, these guys are like the Democrats and these guys are like the Republicans. You could if you were like, you know, just saying, you know, I think Democrats are good guys, so these guys are the good guys and those guys are the Republicans because they're the bad guys, or vice versa, or whatever. But they're really not portrayed as being anything but just sort of generic politicians, really. And and when you see the two sides, since we don't know all the nuances of space politics, we can't tell the difference between which one of them's more like this or more like that. They just seem like your typical opposing sides of politicians squabbling. Or it's not even sort of a split thing, because you're in Star Wars, so there's a whole bunch of different worlds. So instead of two political parties, you have 50 or 60 sitting in there in the Senate or something, it appears, you know, at least.
Yeah.
And so you can just sort of teach the basic principles of it without, you know, ruining it for people. You know, say the kids' parents tune in and they're like, what is this, you know, Republican crap, or what is this liberal crap? It's more just like they could look at it and go like, yeah, politicians are slimy.
It also really helps, and the reason why it works so well is, like, solely rests on Ahsoka's shoulders, because she's the one that's representing kind of, like, the kids watching. Mm-hmm. Because, like, up to this point, like, we've only really, like Ahsoka says, like, I've only seen Ventress, Dooku, and Grievous. That's it. And so the same thing with kids watching this. So, like, she's kind of representing that younger generation that's learning. And so I think a lot of her, like, legitimate, like, surprise, like, oh wow, separatists aren't bad, is to help kids go like, you know, not all politics and politicians are bad, even if they're from the other side. So like, it works because Ahsoka's there. I think if it was like any, I think Obi-Wan, if it was Obi-Wan there, he'd be like, yeah, I understand that the separatists, you know, or blah blah blah. But no, it's because Ahsoka represents the younger audience. That's why it works.
Right, and it's a classic idea. It reminds me of. And this was something that we had to read and watch the movie adaptation of in middle school. It was middle school, All Quiet on the Western Front, where there's, which I believe is a World War One movie. And there's a point, you know, where there's a bunch of Americans in one trench and Germans on a trench, you know, 50 feet away. And it's, I believe it's Christmas. I might be getting
That is World War II, and it's British truth, because
that's what I'm saying. I might be getting the two of them mixed up, because there's a story of World War II with the British troops. They actually walked over and were like, hey, let's hang out.
And they played soccer.
Right, and they hung out with each other. In All Quiet on the Western Front, they just start singing with each other. So they're still separate, but you know, like somebody, I can't remember which side, somebody starts singing and then somebody starts singing from the other side, and they all start singing Christmas carols together or something. But you know, it's that moment when you realize that the people that you're fighting, for the most part, outside of the political sphere, are the same as you, you know.
Yeah.
And when they look at you, they're just seeing the same thing that you're seeing when you look at them.
And it's always, like, the lower levels that recognize that first.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's never the government, like, the highest government officials.
They're the ones that are outside of the political bubble. They're, you know, I mean, that's another thing they're illustrating very well in in Clone Wars is the politicians are not familiar at all with what is going on with their constituency for real. You know, they only live in their world of political cliques and stuff. So yeah, it's always, I mean, the people on the bottom level are always the ones that experience all the effects of war and politics the soonest, you know, and the people on the top aren't feeling it, but the people on the bottom feel it instantly, so they start putting stuff together faster because they're getting the visceral effects of it first. It's the, you know, it's the people who are getting their villages destroyed in between the separatists and the Republic fighting, you know.
Oh, it's like Orin Fried's Hall, like the from Ryloth. Like, he is a fat guy, but, like, you know,
right, Shams, right, yeah, exactly. I couldn't remember his name, right. And you see everybody else of his species are svelte and athletic, and then you see him, and he's just like, rah, you know, because he's hanging around in the Senate having, you know, catering all the time.
And then his people are, like, getting their villages blown up and invaded every day. That ends in
right,
Y.
Right, right, and starving, you know, so... Yeah, it's classic. It's politics 101, and they do a very deft job. And at this point in the story, I was starting to go like, all right, I might really like this episode. It was still sort of up in the air. It wasn't until the third act was what, like, boom, put me over the edge. But like the second part, that's when I was starting to go like, wow, they're really gonna maybe do a nice little political statement in 22 minutes here.
Yeah.
And it was all sort of up in the air as to where it goes as it goes forward. And I was like, all right, let's see where they go with this. But
yeah, I only had two other notes for Act 2. One is, we've already talked to great lengths already about how the Jedi caused their own downfall. So it's really cool to see that Lux, like this person on the outside of the Jedi, is seeing that too. And he was just like, you know, the Jedi are not really as great as they used to be.
They're so kind of scary if they're going bad because they have superpowers, you know? It's like,
yeah,
Superman going bad.
So I just thought it was really cool how, like, somebody on the outside of Jedi was like, you know, you guys are kind of creepy, and that's kind of weird. But, like, the Jedi still can't see it themselves. So I really liked that moment. And I just, it's fun to see Ahsoka in a new situation with a boy and, you know, just to see how she reacts as a character. Because, like, When Lux is just like, yeah, you look nice, like, Ahsoka responds as if she's been hit on before, and so I thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, I'm wondering if other Padawans have come onto her.
No, I think this is really, it was a really awesome scene the more I thought about it. I just sort of didn't really think about it much at first, but the more I was thinking about it, it's like, they're teenagers, and we've talked about Ahsoka is basically a teenager, but she's been through war. He's in the upper crust of his society, and also, you know, affected by war and politics. So both of them have a level of outer self-assurance because they have done and been around things, and he's obviously a smart kid. And so they have that level of assurance where he could be like a little cocky without being completely ridiculously, you know, exaggeratedly awkward, but it's just a little awkward. It's a mixture of cockiness and awkwardness with both of them. And that's, you know, that really shows some fine tuning in the understanding of their characters. So it's not just a typical teen awkward moment of like, oh, hey, and like one of them trips and like, you know. No, it's a little more complex, but at the same time, they really don't know what they're doing. But they're at that age where they're gonna, you know, they're gonna mess around with trying to flirt and stuff.
And the thing is like, Ahsoka's kind of looking for a fight. Like, she's waiting for these separatists to be like, Grievous or Ventress,
I mean,
or Dooku.
It's the perfect teen flirting opportunity. It's like, oh, he's supposed to be the enemy, but, oh, he's cute, you know? And like...
And, I think part of the reason it works so well also is I think Lux realizes that she's looking for a fight too, and he's very respecting her. Like, he's respecting her a lot, like, and, you know, and he understands that she has an opposite viewpoint, but he's not trying to push her buttons. He's, like, letting her state her side, and then he gives a nice counter-argument, and then he offers a question, so, and then lets her answer. Like, he's being very respectful towards her.
Around negotiation and protocol and politics, so he's also, you know, they might have had a little talk ahead of time and been like, look, she's bringing a young Jedi along with her. We gotta make a good impression, even if they're kind of hostile, you know. And so they're putting their, you know, they're it's smart. It's humanizing yourself. You know, it's like the girl in Silence of the Lambs telling the killer what her name is. So he's not thinking about her as an object. They're like, you know, they're like, we're going to, you know, show, you know, we're going to act like decent human beings, you know.
See, like, I didn't take it that way as them, like, putting their best foot forward. I took them at, like, as Lux being just, that's who he is. He's sincerely generous. Like, he's being sincere. Like, he's not trying to put, like, the best part of himself. I just felt like that is him as Lux, and that's who he is. Especially, like, since we've had Lux, and I'm kind of, like, basing this off the fact that, like, I've seen future episodes with Lux in it. He's in an episode in season 4, and he's also in the Onderon arc in season 5, I'm wanting
but,
to say.
Yeah, I don't think we're, like, I don't think I'm actually, I think I'm just wording it differently, because I think that's why he is, that is how he is, and he is like that because he's grown up he's grown up in a situation where you have to be polite to people, you know, you have to look at things from other people's sides, because that's what's sort of going on in their realm, you know. He has a greater understanding of it than, you know, a normal teenager who might be just like, hey, stupid Jedi, or, you know, or something like that.
That's true, because he is growing, I'm sure he understands that, like, because the war's probably at this point has been going on for, what, like a year and a half, 2 years tops?
Yeah, which is a long time for someone his age, too.
And so, like, he's probably, like, now that he's older, he's probably starting to understand, like, you know, like, we left, so we're definitely, you know, the ones that maybe not caused the trouble, but, you know, like, we're definitely on side. We're on a side.
In the strata where he's living and living his life and who his mother is, you know, he's picking up stuff. He's already learned the stuff that Ahsoka's learning in this episode. You know, he's already had experience with that. And he already knows this, Padme. So he's like, you know, he knows people in the Republic that he knows are cool people, you know, that he likes. So Ahsoka doesn't know that yet, you know.
He's boy Padme.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. And I just have to say, it's such a nice, like, little line of Padme just being like, oh, Lux has grown up so much. Like, that just shows history that, you know, these people did used to be part of the Republic and she knew them. So that's a nice, like, little line that I put in there, too. So, Act 3?
My favorite act. The one that ties it all together for Chris Honeywell.
I'm going to take a sip of my coffee right fast. All right, so Act 3. In the Separatist Parliament, Mina puts a plan on the floor to negotiate peace with the Republic. Some people don't like it, like a corporation that doesn't agree with the plan, but they're a democracy, not a republic. Count Dooku puts in a vote to the floor. In a surprise twist, the Separatists vote in favor to try and make peaceful negotiations with the Republic. It looks like Padme's plan might actually work out for them. I just thought about this, and then I'll get back to my notes. I just realized that, like, Padme was sitting in the room, and if she used to know all these people, well, did no one just recognize that Padme's sitting in the room with them?
Whoops.
I just realized that.
It would be kind of a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, I just realized that. Like, Padme, you know, used to see these people every day. Did none of them, no one know her just because she has a headscarf on? Anyway. So, it looks like Padme's plan might actually work out for them. Until we go back to Coruscant, where some bad dudes are causing some shit. Lot Dod and his evil friends are like, Dooku, seriously, man, you had one job. Start a war and make us some money. But now it looks like it's in trouble. And Dooku is like, guys, calm your tits. I have an evil scheme working to make the war last longer. Back on Raxus, Padme and Ahsoka say goodbye to Lux and Mina. Ahsoka even admits she hopes the war ends because she doesn't want to fight Lux on the battlefield, hinting there might be a full friendship in the works between a Jedi and a Separatist. The ladies leave and head back to Coruscant, where some evil droid shit is going down. Grievous' droids easily sneak into a power plant to do some evil. But wait, we have to go back to the Senate building and see that Padme is meeting with Palpatine. Papa Palpatine is like, you did what now? And Padme is like, well, I used Ahsoka to sneak illegally to Raxus and make a possible peace treaty, so we should talk to them. But she doesn't actually say that. Palpatine is thinking, where are those fucking droids at? But he actually says, oh, that's great. Why do you think the Separatists want to end the fighting? And Padme says that she reached out to Mina, who put a bill up for the Separatists. And Palpatine is like, oh, Mina Bonteri? Bon Terry. Well, I know who to murder next. I mean, cool, Padme, that's good word. Good job. Let's go talk to the Senate. As the Senate is meeting and Padme is all excited for finally bringing into the an end to the Clone Wars, the evil droids invade a power station and blowing up, causing a blackout in the city. Worse than that, they set up bombs all over town and those go off too. Palpatine is like, what a turn of events! Would you look at that? The Separatists attacked us. What are the odds? Let's make more troops and continue the Clone Wars TV show for 3 more seasons. Hooray! And that's what they did. After the meeting, Anakin is pissed at Ahsoka and Padme for going to Raxus. Ahsoka went too far this time. At least Ahsoka learned that everything isn't black and white in this war, and the space parents have a little bit to be proud of. The end.
At this point, at the beginning of this third act, maybe I was in a bad mood that day, but I was starting to be a little grumpy because I just realized to myself, and I said, self, this whole Grievous plot with the other robots is really underdeveloped. You know,
I was thinking the same thing until the shit went off, and I was just
right.
And I think a lot of it is I felt that Padme and Ahsoka were on Raxus longer than the droids were on Coruscant.
Well, it's but, like that story was like the action part of it, but it was, and I'm like, it's not really, you know, the story with Padme is a lot, and Ahsoka is a lot more intriguing, and is actually like driving this a lot more than that. It just seemed like this sort of underdeveloped subplot. But then when it happened, it was like, oh, okay. And it sort of brought the platitude into play.
Yeah.
And it fit in perfectly. And that's when I was just like, all right, this is a great, great episode.
See, mine was the timing thing, because like, I felt like Ahsoka and Padme were on Raxus much longer than the robots were on Coruscant until the actual attack happened. And that's when I realized it wasn't just the power plant. They spent all that time putting bombs all over the city. And I did not realize that until the bombs started going off all over the city. And I was like, whoa, they were there much longer than I thought. So like, that's when it worked for me, because I just felt like the time wasn't matching. And then I realized that they were doing more than just getting off a ship and rolling to a power plant.
Yeah, it perfectly, yeah, and we'll find out, we'll get a little more shading on it in the next episode, which is really cool too. But as soon as that was happening, I was just like, oh, this is perfect, because it perfectly illustrates, I mean, for a 22-minute plot, it's a little too convenient, but for a 22-minute plot, it's actually very shaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little kind of a complex political lesson if you're for kids, that both sides have the same sort of amount of, or have a good mix of corruption and good that's being manipulated, and that both sides want peace. Both sides, if just given a little shove in the right direction, people will go like, yeah, let's stop fighting. And you need, On the upper, skankier, behind-the-scenes level, they need to feed fear in, you know, in order to keep people from actually making peace. You know, that peace is sort of the natural state of what sentient beings want. And in order to keep them fighting, you have to sort of artificially feed that. And mm-hmm. I really love that message. And it's handled very deftly, and it's just done wonderfully. It's done in a Star Wars sort of, you know, context, and it's done in one episode, and it also gives a good bit of character development, like real good real profound character development for Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. So it's not the biggest action-packed episode is at all. As a matter of fact, it has very little action in it. It's more destruction than action. You know, when it finally goes off, there's a little carnage at the end. But boy, it's a strong episode. I really, really like this episode.
Yeah, like two things on that part.
This is my favorite political episode so far.
Just to like kind of piggyback on you first and foremost. God, what was I about to say? Jesus Christ, because it's not in my notes, but you made me think about it. It's so, like, much fun to see how, like, things just go from, like, this yay to chaos. Mm-hmm. Because, like, everybody was on board with Padme, and Palpatine was just like, let's wait another 30 seconds. 30 more seconds. Just 30 seconds. And, like, everyone was like, yeah, peace, let's finally do this. And the moment the bombs get off, people are just like, shoot us the Separatists!
Done, and that's exactly how it works,
and you,
too.
And you see it in Padme's face, too. She's just like, no, it's not the Separatists. It's not the Separatists. And, like, she just collapses and just sits down and covers her face because, like, she, like, it just, it's
she
gone
was
away
like,
from her.
Yeah, we're so close. We did the, like, right thing. We were doing the right thing.
Seconds.
Everybody was, like, going along with it. And then something, and then it's like, it has that, you know, that crushing feeling of, like, here we are, we're on the verge of this, and then this just sort of bad luck drops out of the universe, you know, because, you know, she does not know how manipulated it is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just sort of like, you know, what bad timing we had with this. It was so close, and it's just like, oh, no, that happened because you were so close, you know?
Yeah. And I just have to say, like, this is a really smart attack on Dooku and Grievous, because, like, no one suspects sweeper droids. They're just there, and, like, you know, like, bless the poor clones' hearts. They're just like, ha, stupid droids. So I was like, oh, stupid clone troopers.
You would think they would be able to detect weapons and explosives.
And I'm just sitting here going, like, why don't the bad guys do shit like this more often? Like,
yeah, it would be so easy.
Just get, like, someone, like, they do it all the time in Rebels. Like, you know, they just paint Chopper and send him into a Rebel base. And,
yeah,
like, it's an Imperial base, and he's just like, doop-a-doop-a-doop.
You
could
literally shoot droids out into space in every direction where you needed them to go to just go and destroy everything that you don't like, you know, because they can just walk in and start, like, wrecking stuff.
But I will say, like, I think they're actually going to be addressing, by the time this episode comes out, it's already going to be passed. But I know this coming episode of Rebels, it's called, like, Secret Agent Droid or Double Agent Droid or whatever. Anyway, on Rebels Recon, they always show a little, like, preview clip, and it's, like, the first minute of the episode. And the Snape, kind of Alan Rickman droid, and Chopper is painted, and they, like, come onto an Imperial base. But the Imperial guys are just like, wait a second, and they scan Chopper, and they're like, that's a Rebel droid. Like, they finally, like, wised up to it. So I'm very interested to see what happens with that, because it's like they're finally addressing this whole thing of, like, if we actually just scan the droids, they won't fuck us up. It's why R2 is the savior of Star Wars, because no one looks at R2.
Yep, exactly.
But so I really like seeing the Separatist Parliament. And it's so rare just to see how they work, because they're not a republic. They're a democracy where majority rules, and they're different from that. And unlike the actual republic that we're so used to seeing, they don't let the corporations have that much power because they're a democracy. And so, like, it's so cool to see, because they might have actually had the beginnings of a really good system if they weren't all snuffed out in episode 3. I just wish we had like another episode or two like this, because it's just such a cool insight that we get. And to my knowledge, I think this is the only time we see the Separatist parliament in Clone Wars that I can remember.
Yeah, I like it. I like it that it's kind of like a smaller, similar version of the Republic. You know, they're running things in a different way, but it's still got the same sort of dynamics, but it's got sort of a more smaller grassroots, like, organic feel to it, you know? It's
yeah.
not a gigundous building with floating platforms. It's just sort of a warm, it's a big room, but it's got that sort of warm, like, wood and stone feel to it.
Yeah, unlike the Senate, or the Republic Senate, where it feels like thousands of people, like, this feels like maybe 100 to 200.
This seems like, yeah. It was more like the people of that planet, you know, it felt like.
But that could be it, though, because not everybody looks like Mina.
So it was definitely, you know, all different representations of Separatists, but it just had I guess maybe the Separatists are also a smaller, more rebellion-like group, too, so.
Yeah. Though I didn't note that they had more, like, aliens, while the Republic has more, like, people.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird. I would also, did you see last week's episode of Rebels, Through Imperial Eyes, the Agent Callus episode?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to
make sure. I'm all caught up on my Rebels.
Actually, it wasn't. It was the week before, because we were supposed to record last week, and we didn't, so.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually not all caught up, because I don't think I've seen the one that came out. Oh, maybe I have. I think I have seen the one that came out Saturday. Never mind.
It was a beautiful episode.
Yes,
with, like, Hera and, yeah, let's blow up a nebula.
And it actually lines up very well with the, like, I had watched the episode that we're doing next on J-Guys and Jedi, and watched the Rebels on the same night, and they line up insanely well. They both have a rousing Mon Mothma moment in them.
But I would really easily argue that this episode is the precedent for episodes like Through Imperial Eyes, and is the precedent for characters like Agent Callus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if this episode was so successful that we would have ever got to see the insides of the Empire. Like this episode, it's, you know, we have seen through Rebels that not all Imperials are the same, and they all have their own personalities. Like, Callus is truly on his own. The bless his heart, the lieutenant guy in that episode, who was just like, Governor Price is fulcrum. I'm going to go chase her down. Like, bless his heart, my God. He is precious, and I love him. But we got to see, like, I don't think we would have ever seen the inner workings of the Empire, especially on the lower levels, if we didn't have an episode like this beforehand. Because, like, this is, you know, now, like, we see Rebels, and, like, because we've watched Clone Wars, we know that they've done stuff like this before. So in Rebels, it's like, cool, we're seeing the inside of the Empire, but we've already seen, like, the other side of the Separatists, but I don't think we would have gotten that. And we know from future, like, season 4 and season 5 episodes that Lux will eventually leave the Separatists. And it's just like how Callus is choosing to fight the Empire from within.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool to see how, like, this is kind of like the predecessor to those kind of Rebels episodes. And we get characters like Agent Callus, who is a lot like this and a lot like Lux in future episodes. So I just thought that was really cool.
It was a great idea that they basically ported over the people who made Clone Wars to the people who made Rebels.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to those people that they're doing something different, but at the same time maintaining a lot of the same stuff that they, a lot of the great stuff that they did in Clone Wars, so that there's a, you know, coherency between the two of them, and they feel connected. It's brilliant. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I mean, and I would also argue that Anakin getting mad at Ahsoka for going too far this time is one of the early steps of pushing her to eventually leave the Jedi Order.
Uh-huh.
Because he kind of sort of confirms Lux's suspicions that the Jedi are, in a way, bad. Because Ahsoka argues that Anakin bends the rules all the time, and he flat out tells her that she's wrong, and that's that. And he doesn't even give her a chance to argue. And it's the beginning seeds of doubt that there's something bad in the Jedi Order that she's starting to see. That's just starting to get sown. Like, this is kind of like the beginning of that.
It would have been very interesting if Anakin went along on their journey and saw it from that perspective, and to see if he would actually have seen it the same way as she had, you know?
Because that's the thing, he's the chosen one. Like, he would have been also able to get away with it. They'd be like, oh, he's the chosen one, he's just doing his thing. But Ahsoka's not. And so, like, that's kind of like, you know, it's like Anakin's word is law, but, like, the moment Ahsoka does something that he... And this isn't the first time we've seen this happen. Like, Ahsoka has done something that Anakin would have done, like going to Mandalore and overthrowing the government. He was like, you shouldn't have done that. And she's like, you would have done it. And he's like, yeah, I would have done it. And so, like, but this is different because at least on that time, like, she got to argue back. He is not arguing with her at all. And he doesn't give her a chance to fight back. And I could see her just being like, huh, Lux is kind of right. Like, you know, something funny is going on here and I don't know exactly what it is. It's like those beginning. Yeah, it's those kind of beginning seeds of her starting to distrust what's going on in the Jedi Order. And then the only real gripe I had with the episode is I wish we had just a little bit more time with Lux and Mina and a little less with the droids sneaking around. Especially just because there's like, you know, we could have had them arrive and then the droids at the end. But there was a couple scenes like here and there cut in. I especially wanted more times with Lux and Ahsoka because this is her first long time that we've seen her with a boy that's not a Jedi. And it's a very new thing for her. So I just wanted like a little bit more time with like Lux and Mina and then Lux and Ahsoka together. So I would have liked that a little bit more. Or even if he like, you know, told Ahsoka how he felt about clone troopers killing his dad. Like, that would have been really cool. And because, you know, Mina said it, but we didn't get to hear how Lux felt on the issue. And I just wanted a little bit more time. So, but that's really all I had for the episode.
Yeah, this is the act that tied it all together with me. When this episode was, when stuff started blowing up and the lights went out in the Senate, I was like, all right, I'm down with this. Yep, this is gone, you know. At that point, I was like, okay, they've set things up. I hope they knock them down right. And I was like, oh, they did. And this is good. The way they did it was I thought it was perfect. I gripe. Like, my first notes for usually every political episode is, political episode. Here we go. Awesome. But when they land one and they have a good political episode, they're really good. And I think so far this is my favorite. I think this is the best political episode, it's the most entertaining. It actually teaches a good lesson for kids who've been watching this a lot. The movie, I mean, assumingly that they've been watching the movies and the Clone Wars up till now. So they are sort of like Anakin and Ahsoka. They are just like the separatists are the bad guys. And in 22 minutes, this one just does a great job at that. It reminds me of the old days of early television writing, you know, Rod Serling-style writing, where they were able to put messages into it without being ridiculous about it, you know? Or, you know, reflect it, like, super reflective of whatever was going on in politics at the time. They just did a general idea, you know? And this is very good at that, but it's also doing more complex versions of it. And, I really like this episode.
So, how would you rate it?
I rated this, assumingly, at first the same as you, an 8.5 out of 10, but now that I look at the screen I notice you've done it to me again. But yeah, exactly. I gave this one an 8.5 and just to be a jerk, I'm gonna seeing as how I just talked it up a little more than I even thought I was gonna talk it up, oh yeah. Well, here, how about this? I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. How about that?
I'm going back and forth between these two scores, so it's okay. easy
to
agree.
This is great. This is politics in action, folks.
I was actually thinking about your Grievous Pop. Like, you could take it off its stand, and since it's a bobblehead, like, turn the spring around so its head is backwards, and then mount it on your ceiling so it's looking down at you.
Ooh.
I was thinking about that earlier. Like, you could, like glue it to your ceiling, but turn its head so it's looking down.
So he's looking down at me? Yes, just about to drop?
Yeah, because he does that.
Like, you think spiders are going to do?
And then, like, an owl, he'll turn his head all the way around and look at Obi-Wan. But... And for me, this is one of my absolute favorite episodes of Clone Wars. It's so cool that we get to see the behind enemy lines and how the Separatists work. I wish we had one or two episodes that did this as well, because I would have loved to see more of the Separatist side of the story. I also wish we had a little bit more time with Mina and Lux in this one, but overall, this is Padme and Ahsoka in top form, and it's great to see how Palpatine, Dooku, Grievous, and the corrupt senators work to extend the Clone Wars. And it really shows that there are bad people on both sides and there are good people on both sides. And I keep going back and forth, but I'm going to settle it with you now. I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10. Because I did have an 8.5, and then as we were talking about it, it bumped it up. But then I started thinking, I was like, 8.75. And I'm like, no, it's a 9. It's a straight up 9 out of 10 so for me. So as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can send us feedback many different ways. You can send it to us on iTunes, which we really like, because when you review us on iTunes, it helps people find the show.
And I have something to say about that. All right, It and Beat It is on episode 2. We've got 4 iTunes reviews.
What?
Are you J-Guys and Jedi's listeners out there going to let them do that?
We've
in just
been
two episodes, they're going to have four reviews. I'm in both podcasts. How can you guys let that stand?
This is episode 61 of J-Guys and Jedi, and Eden Beta has only had 2 episodes, and they already have 4 reviews. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we need 14 or 15 more reviews here.
And we read them on the show. We'll read you on the show, so come on. You can also leave us feedback on Twitter and on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And this week's feedback comes from a Facebook page for the episode The Academy. Or I would read feedback here, but we didn't get any feedback for The Academy.
Oh,
so,
more slacking.
So I just wanted to give you guys a friendly reminder to leave us feedback for the episodes. And just, even if it's just good feedback, we would love just to hear... Like, what points you agree with, if there's anything you disagree with, like how a few weeks back, I forgot who it was, but they said that, in Supply Lines that it was a good Jar Jar episode, and I was right, and Chris was wrong, so. Wait, you can't open your Kit Kat, because I have Kit Kats, and we need to decide on which ones to have, because Dario told me he sent both of us the exact same things.
I don't know if he sent you the exact same Kit Kats.
The
other candy, I hate to say this, Hope, I've eaten most of it already.
Damn it, Honeywell, I have been waiting to eat my candy for you. So I want to eat the Slavian Snickers bar, the Winergy.
Well, I ate the Winergy last night, and I was talking to Dario about it.
I have been waiting to do this.
That's okay. I'll be able to talk to you about it too, because it's fresh on my head.
I'm going to angrily eat this Slavian Snickers bar.
You're going to hate snack on the... Okay, well, what I'm eating...
I've been waiting to do this with you, man.
It's okay, we're
good.
Do you want me to pretend I'm eating the Winergy bar?
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain what's happening. So, listeners, Chris really hates American Kit Kats. And so he was bitching about it. So our lovely, lovely person who listens to our show, Dario, is a flight attendant, and he sent Chris Kit Kats from all over the world. So he usually reviews the Kit Kats. Well, I got jealous because I didn't get any Kit Kats. And so about 2 days ago, my package arrived, and Dario was so wonderful, and he sent me candy from all around the world so I can join in on the reviews. And so I just wanted to say, Dario, this is really sweet. Thank you so much, and we look forward to future candies if you want to keep doing this. But it's your money and your decision, so you don't have to send it to us. So, Chris, you review what you want to do. I'm going to eat the Snickers bar.
Okay, so she's got the fur and Snicker bar.
Wow.
The Winergy bar. Yeah. Now Hope gets to learn how they are in other countries. Now wasn't that how I would describe it is a Snickers bar mushed down. It's a thin Snicker bar. It doesn't have like a big glob of nougat layer. Everything's just a thin layer of nougat, caramel, chocolate, and peanuts.
It's not as sweet as a normal Snickers bar.
No, the chocolate's darker and it's delicious. It's like not an it's the perfect proportion of everything I found, and it was
yeah.
Delicious.
I'm kind of the same way, because I don't like things that are super sweet. Like, I like sweets, but I don't like super sweet things.
Yes.
So this is awesome.
Well, when you add peanuts to it, that immediately takes a nice level of sweetness off it. You know what I mean? It adds a little layer of protein and savoriness to it that I like too. I agree. I don't like things that are too sickly sweet unless it's like a very small portion. Well, what I've got, it's funny. Speaking of peanuts, I've got a Japanese Kit Kat from Dario. It's a mystery Kit Kat, whereas I cannot see anywhere in English what it says it is.
I hope it tastes like feet. What? It's gonna be like those like Harry's like Bert's Bots every flavor beans.
Well, it has a picture on it here. I better turn on the light so I can look at this better. It has a picture on it that looks like it could either be a grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a lot of jelly and a little peanut butter. Or it could be a grilled cheese and caviar, or a grilled cheese and chopped up steak in steak sauce. It's hard
I'm
to say.
I'm so excited.
I mean, obviously I'm thinking it's peanut butter and jelly, but it's also on toasty something. So it's one of the mystery ones. Okay, it's this regular color of a regular Kit Kat.
I hope it tastes like feet.
Smells like chocolate and not like feet. Okay.
What does it taste like?
Well, I can tell you what it doesn't taste like. Peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
Or caviar and cheese.
Okay.
It tastes like a very normal Kit Kat.
Aww, wow.
I don't know. I'm like breathing through my nose like crazy trying to figure out. Detect some sort of subtlety that tells me.
Maybe it's a dud, or maybe like every 1,000 doesn't taste like peanut butter, it's just a Kit Kat.
Well, there's a little bit of tartness, and the layers in between the chocolate are a little purpley. Now I'm sniffing and like licking it and like touching my tongue to it.
And we just started a new episode of Eat and Beat It.
I mean, it's good. But I don't know what distinguishes it from a regular Kit Kat bar. This was sort of the first clunker for me.
Maybe the wafers like in between that are a different color are just like a chocolate wafer?
It looks pretty much like a regular Kit Kat when you bite into it, like the wafers are. I was expecting maybe a layer of like brown and then a layer of purple, you know, inside. Or maybe that the chocolate on the outside would have a raspberry flavor to it and then peanut butter on the inside or something.
Yeah.
It tastes like normal Kit Kat.
Aww. Well, I enjoyed my Snickers bar from, I think it was Slovakia, Slavian.
And when I saw Winergy, I was like, is this going to be a wine flavored?
That'd be awesome. But seriously, thank you, Dario. I'm so excited I can get in on the fun now. So, did you notice, Chris, in the notes, I put Chris, and then in pink, I wrote, and finally, hope! Maybe it's a Kit Kat bar. So, yeah. So, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we have just added a new podcast.
What?
Yeah. And it's been there for a while since we're ahead of schedule, but it's fresh. And I think you might recognize the name of that podcast. It's the Tangents Abound podcast with Mr. Aaron Henley. Has been added to the Two True Freaks family.
Oh, cool!
Of podcasts.
Congratulations, Aaron.
Yeah, we're glad to have him. Yep, I finally got to do a podcast recently with Scott Gardner, and we were talking, and we were just like, hey, what about that Aaron Henley guy? Mm-hmm. He seems kind of cool.
And he did a really nice show for Sean, which we were so appreciative of.
And his show, I mean, the show's called Tangents Abound. It's going to fit right in with Two True Freaks.
Yeah, it is.
So welcome aboard, Aaron Henley. And everybody go check out the new Tangents Abound podcast. I don't know, by this time, I imagine he should probably be all ported over here. And
I just checked, it only has one episode.
Well, that's now. Yeah. By the time they hear it, you might have a full contingent. If not, that's you'll be true. Getting all the fresh Tangents Abounds anyway, so.
Yeah.
And see, that's why we didn't get a email from Aaron this week, because he was too busy setting up his new office in DemonzaCorp.
Did he get it? I'd see. I have a window view on my DemonzaCorp office. So he has to start from the mailroom and work his way up.
they're all planning a bunch of office pranks for the new guy. But you never know, you know, with Two True Freaks, you're not the new guy for very long.
No, we're a family here, so.
I think as we're recording right now, I think Aaron Henley is recording with my neighbor Scott 2.0 on the new Logan movie.
Oh, cool. I still haven't seen it. I probably won't get a chance to see it in theaters, because my god, movie theaters are expensive. It's still.
Very, very good.
I've heard really good things about it, so I can't wait to see it. I'll probably have to wait until it comes out on video, though.
Yeah, on tutufreaks.com, we did a 5-minute, Scott McGregor and I did a 5-minute freak on, we went to see Logan and then recorded immediately after it at Five Guys over delicious bacon cheeseburgers. So that's up on Two True Freaks, and you can check us out on Facebook. There's a Two True Freaks page and a Two True Freaks Cantina, and you got your Back to the Bins, Eat It and Beat It's got a page. You got your Garage Sale Gloat. There's a whole all the Fear the Walking Dead cast has their and Weekly Heroics have their own page, so you can go and check out like individual podcasts. It's a riot, man. And we got Gene the podcasting machine. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Gene. Oh, you're a little slow. Hope's sick today, so she's a little
slow. I wasn't slow. I said it when you said it. You just had delay.
Okay.
And blame it on the internet.
That's what it is. It's Skype.
Gene
runs our Twitter account, Two True Freaks, on Twitter. And, yes, he is the master of Twitter.
And I gotta say, if you like us, tell your friends about us. So if you have a friend that you know that likes Star Wars, and they're like, they want to get into the Clone Wars, and apparently Netflix is keeping Clone Wars, and let's see how, knock on wood, how long that lasts for. But if you have a friend, just tell them about us. Let them know how much fun we are, and how quote unquote classy we are, and how not to listen to this podcast with children in the room. but like, you know, if you like us, tell a friend and give us a shout out and like give us a listen and let them know that we love you guys too. So share the love. So.
And while you're at it, you should check out all the awesome stuff that Hope does on the internets.
Yeah, I run our J Guys and Jedi Twitter. Someone also left us feedback for Assassin, which we will be covering in next week's episode. And I think it was Aaron, but I don't remember, because I don't have Twitter pulled up at the moment. But yeah. You can follow us at J Guys and Jedi, where I also do live tweeting of Star Wars Rebels episodes. And I also do reactions on Tumblr and stuff like that. But you can also find me at Hope Molinex, and I'm also the newsbeat writer for whatthefangirl.com. And I also do editorials there as well. Like, I just actually wrote this long, big post. Actually, I used Ahsoka as an example.
And I just was flipping over the post, and I was like, ooh, this looks like something Hope was... Oh, it's something Hope wrote.
Yeah. What it was is I wrote a post about how shipping wars are completely asinine and moronic and idiotic, and it's bullying, and ship wars are just, like, a destruction of a fandom because they're stupid as fuck.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that one. I was talking about the one where with the your five favorite shows that were with a female lead for...
Oh, yeah, I did that for today. But like I was talking about how I understand that representation matters in fandom and how we want to see ourselves in characters. And, even though like the ship war post was mostly about Once Upon a Time, because there's been a lot of bullying and harassment in the Once Upon a Time fandom, but I used Ahsoka as my example that I understand that Ahsoka was important to me, and if you've listened to the show before, you've known I've cried a few times over Ahsoka. Like, literally cried. But yeah, I did that one, and today, the day that we're recording, it's International Women's Day, so I wrote a post about my five favorite shows with female leads, and one of them was Star Wars Rebels, and I was talking about Hera and Sabine and stuff, and how cool that Hera, the first B-Wing pilot, was a Twi'lek woman, and that's such a cool thing, and I love it. So yeah, you can find my work over at whatthefangirl.com and check us out. So, yay! I'm gonna go take a NyQuil and go to bed.
Yay! Sounds like fun. I'm gonna drink a glass of wine and do some more editing on some secret projects. Drunk editing!
I don't know why I thought you were about to say I'm gonna drink a glass of wine and wink off. I don't know why I thought you were about to say that, but
that's the end of Eat It and Beat It. No, I'm actually going to drink my wine like a civilized person with my dinner. I don't know what I'm having for dinner yet, but it's going to be something very classy and nice.
I thought you totally were about to say I'm going to be a civilized person and drink my wine with my dick.
I'm going to stir my wine with my penis like all civilized men do.
It's okay. I can blame my loopiness on being sick. It's okay.
Right.
Don't smoke, kids. You get colds and chest things a lot.
Don't sleep on your cat's with your face down in your cat's cat bed.
Yeah, if you have allergies. She needed me. She needed me. She's a precious baby.
Yeah, but
she'll
you could
be free.
Yeah, she needed you, but your lungs did not need a nice dusting of cat dander either.
Yeah, but
trust
she'll be
me,
free
in 2 days. I live that life. I know exactly what you mean.
I'm waiting for her, like, on Friday to pull, like, a Braveheart, and, like, we're gonna, like, let her out of the room, and she's just gonna be like, freedom! Freedom!
Through the window, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think she'll be allowed to go outside for another couple weeks, which will really suck even more because she's an indoor-outdoor cat, and she's gonna just be sitting at the door and just be like,
I hate you, yes. Why not out?
Hopefully she'll just be happy for at least 24 hours to be inside more house than the tiny room, so we'll see how that grows, so yay. But I guess until next time, I have candy. I finally have candy, yay.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.